You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business. Leading to business success. Today we are with Julia Tain, Executive Director of Vent2Me, a full-service marketing agency helping small to medium-sized businesses achieve their goals. Julia, privileged to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're more than welcome. Tell us, for starters, what marketing trends should we be aware of coming up in the new year in 2015?
Okay. Well, this year has been really interesting with marketing, and there's been a lot of people starting to collaborate with one another. And in 2015, you're going to see a lot more of collaboration. You'll see firms that probably were traditionally competitors actually working together in a cooperative sort of environment. And you can see that in the inventing of cooperative spaces. So in Australia in particular, there's a lot of places now where entrepreneurs or business owners of different walks of life can actually get together and be in a communal hub and bounce ideas off and so forth. So it's no longer about being isolated or being by yourself. It's about gaining ideas and inspiration from other businesses, and you'll start to see that more and more in 2015, particularly with obviously the use of social media. Social media, whether you love it or hate it, is obviously going to continue to grow in 2015. So getting used to how social media works is really important, and determining which channel is right for you.
Tell us which social media channels is right for the typical business.
Well, that was a perfect segue, wasn't it? So it's often a question that I get a lot as a business owner and as someone who is active in social media, because social media is people think it's free, and you see Coca-Cola and you see large brands that obviously are very successful in social media, and I'll get a business owner saying, I need to be on Facebook, or I need to be on Twitter because everyone else is on it. And that's not necessarily true. So yes, social media may be free, but if you think about how much investment and time you need to actually spend on it to actually generate leads or generate a community, it can take a lot of time. So not being on every social media channel is not necessarily the right thing for a business. So for example, I was talking to a plumber, and they wanted to go onto Facebook because, you know, everyone else is on Facebook. And I said to them, but actually, people don't care that you've gone and fixed the toilet today. What are you going to do and post about that on Facebook? Instead, you're probably better off using something like YouTube and doing videos on how to change a washer, something that's more informative and interesting. So you've really got to determine what your target audience wants to work out what social media channel is right for you, and also what the purpose is of the social media channel. So if you're wanting to be informative, if you're a very visual medium, then YouTube's better. If you're wanting to generate traffic to your website, then something like a Google Plus is obviously better. And if you want to generate a community or a hub, then Facebook is most appropriate. But it's really determining what is right for you. And to be honest, you know, facilitating social media can take time. So you need to make sure you've got the adequate resourcing to actually resource it. So what often happens with social media is a business is very gung-ho about it. They'll go, yes, I'm going to be on social media. Probably 2 to 3 months into it, realize it's a lot harder than it was because, A, they're not a brand like Coca-Cola, and then give up. And then what happens is businesses don't realize that their social media footprint is still there. Anything you do digitally, if you don't delete all those sort of things, even if you do delete it, still exists. If people start to Google that business, see that they have an inactive Facebook profile, inactive Twitter profile, and then decide not to contact them because they go, well, if they can't be bothered promoting themselves adequately, why should I use this service? So social media should always be seen as a long-term investment, and also need adequate resourcing.
How do you measure the effectiveness of a marketing campaign?
Okay. Measuring the effectiveness of marketing is so important. It's marketing, unfortunately, is seen as the savior of all issues, but and also the first person or the first thing to blame if something goes wrong. So measuring the effectiveness of marketing is really important. With digital marketing, it's obviously quite easy because of things like Google Analytics, Facebook Insights, Twitter Insights, Google Plus, and so forth. So you can really get that insightful data. But often the easiest way to measure the effectiveness of marketing is actually asking your customer base. So if you get a new inquiry, and generally what people do is they ask the standard things, you know, how did you find me? And they'll say Google, or they'll say Facebook or whatever. But you can actually be a bit more specific and actually actually delve into their mind to find out how they heard about you. And it's often the most interesting way to uncover the effectiveness of marketing. So depending on what industry you're in, often you may not see the initial you might not actually see the initial results of your marketing effort until a little bit down the track. So keeping a record of all your marketing activities and what you've done is really important, and making sure that your customer service reps or anyone who's using the telephone and dealing with clients is aware of where your marketing is, because that's how you can measure it. It's making sure that your team from the top down and the bottom up is aware of all your marketing efforts. Definitely being aware of things like Google Analytics and Facebook Insights and that sort of data is really important. And there's a lot of things you can do now with traditional advertising which can result in being able to measure the effectiveness of the campaign. So things like having a specific phone number or specific web address or email address for particular press adverts or radio adverts or something is a really good way to measure the effectiveness of that campaign. Unfortunately, as I've mentioned before, marketing is seen as either being the saviour or the big fail. And what's really important to be aware of is to make sure marketing results you may not see overnight. So you've really got to measure something, you know, throughout the whole year and have an active way of measuring things ongoingly, because you never know. You might have done a marketing campaign 6 months ago and you might just start getting inquiries now, but at the time you might have thought that marketing campaign had failed. So working out your pipeline and how long it takes from inquiry to sale is very important.
Great information here today. We are joined by Julia Tain, Executive Director of Vent2Me, a full-service marketing agency helping small and medium-sized businesses achieve their goals here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Julia, how much should I be spending on marketing?
It's one of those questions. It's almost, you know, as ominous as do I look big in those jeans and so forth. There's no specific answer. Each company and each business will have their own set rule as to how much they can spend. The most important thing is when it comes to marketing spend is you don't want to spend too much so that you can't facilitate the actual customer base. So by that I mean is, for example, I might decide that I've got the resources and money to do a $500,000 marketing campaign, and I can do that. But if I don't have the staff ready, the processes ready in place to handle the inquiries that I'm going to get, there's no point doing the campaign. You know, you hear rules of thumbs from anywhere spending from 1% of your income up to 20%, and it really doesn't matter. It should really be based on A, how much you want to you can facilitate, B, how much you're willing to grow, and C, whether you know, that's your objective is. There are some businesses out there that don't want to grow, and that's fine. If they're happy with the current level that they've got, well, they shouldn't have to feel obligated to, you know, do marketing and so forth. I guess with marketing, the good thing about it is it is measurable, so you can see with your marketing spend how it's working, if you're getting the right results and so forth. And I would suggest when it comes to marketing spend is allocated across a range of mediums. I know I obviously love digital marketing, but that doesn't mean that I put all my eggs in my basket into digital marketing. I will do press, I will do expos, I will do something else to basically measure the results of different campaigns and so forth. If people are wanting just to have a presence that so that competitors won't sort of overtake their positioning, something like that, definitely digital advertising such as Google AdWords or Facebook advertising can be quite effective. The great thing about digital marketing compared to traditional advertising, and it's partly why there's been so many more small businesses starting up is because it is a lot more achievable and attainable. So I've done campaigns for businesses as little as $5 a day on Facebook and Google AdWords, and it's worked really well for them because they've got a niche area, and B, it's allowed them to grow at a pace that is right for them. When you go to networking events and you go to different things, you always get told something that you should be doing this or you should be doing that, but I strongly believe you need to do it if it's right for the business owner. And if you can facilitate growth and you want to grow, go for it. Spend as much as you willingly can. But if you are wanting to have a good presence but not necessarily grow at a large rate, then you can limit your marketing budget and then spend it more on other facets of your business. Some marketers probably freak out by that I'm saying that, you know, you don't necessarily need to spend that much on marketing. But it's true. I'd rather be transparent and honest and tell people the truth. So I often get people, because I build websites, saying, oh, my cousin's best friend's sister's friend said that I use yellow on my website and they don't like the colour yellow. And then I'd say to them, well, what about your target audience, your customer base? Do you have customers? And they go, yes. And I say, well, are you making profit from the business? And they say, yes. And I said, well, why do you need to redesign your website based on this feedback of someone who isn't your target audience? And because marketing is becoming more accessible through digital and so forth, you are starting to get more of those opinions and those people trying to confuse business owners. And I always say, if it's working and it's, don't fix it, if it's working well, continue with it. The one thing I will say though with websites is, there are certain things that obviously you want to achieve, such as responsive website design, mobile friendly and so forth. But, you don't need to spend $15,000 on a whiz-bang website if your target audience doesn't need that.
Well said. Great information. Lastly, how does a business best grow their brand?
Okay. People don't realize, and I must admit, I struggled with that myself when I initially started off with my business, was I was hiding behind the brand Eventomy. It was a great brand because people would come up to me and go, oh, what's this, what's that? And I explained to them, you know, we're a business mentoring consulting service for small to medium-sized businesses, and that was great. But then as I came to realize and as my business grows, you as an individual business owner is the brand of the company too. So I've started to realize as going through networking, and I definitely suggest networking groups are really important, such as there's like Business Over Breakfast and a few other formal networking groups down to your more casual ones that you can organize through Meetup, is that you need to get out there. When it comes down to whether it's the same for any type of service, if you use one plumber over another, you use one marketer over another, one tutor over another, it comes down to the individual business owner and whether people like you or not. Now, putting yourself out there can be scary. You know, not everyone's going to like you, and you know, sometimes that can be hard, but you are the brand. So you need to represent the brand in a way that that meets the needs of your business. So one thing that I did very early on in my business was that I got a professional styling experience. And basically what that involved was going through my wardrobe, going through what my ambitions were, what my style attributes were, and what I wanted to achieve. So when I walk into a room and I talk to someone, it basically meant that it was the real me. That people would see me and go, okay, that's Julia from Eventomy. And then if they talk to me a little bit later, it was the same messaging. There's nothing worse when you talk to someone and then you talk to them a little bit later on and you don't know who they are because they've put on an act or they've put on a facade to go, hey, this is me, and then you realize it's not them. So you do need to get out there. And networking works well for both extroverts and introverts. And, it often frustrates me, that whole argument versus extroverts versus introverts. At times, I'm obviously an extrovert, but there are times when I'd love to be an introvert and just be able to, you know, sit and listen instead of wanting to obviously add to the conversation and so forth. So really being part of your brand is really important. So whether that's colours, so wearing certain colours or having a uniform or having, you know, promotional items with you and so forth. The other thing is, in addition to networking, is start the blogging, start the commenting on Facebook. I've actually got a lot of clients through Facebook in that I was assisting someone with an inquiry, and then it led down the track to them being a paid client, which was awesome. But at the time, that wasn't my objective. You can tell straight away if someone's just trying to make business and make money straight away. Being genuine and being transparent is really important. You know, now I personally hate the, I guess it's that real estate approach where you come up, you go into a networking event or you meet someone and they throw the business card at you straight away. I personally don't give my business card out unless if someone specifically asks for it, because how many times do you go to an event, get handed 50 or 10 business cards and do nothing with them? So business is a lot like relationship building. There will be some people who love you straight away. There'll be others who won't want to do any business with you. And that's fine. It's working out who is your right client and who is right for you. For example, a lot of my clients, we've become friends. I know some business owners would probably freak about that because they say you shouldn't mix business with friendship. But I love with my clients, and my personality suits that naturally I become friends with my clients. And because I am friends with my clients, I like to go the extra mile because I have a personal and I also have a business relationship with them. And I love building those relationships. And I've also got better at, I guess, picking who is the right client for me, because, you know, you want the client to be happy with you, but you also want to be happy with the client that you have. And I have turned down clients because I didn't feel that we would be a right fit for each other. Now, I did that from an early onset of my business, and at the time people would go to me, but you need the money, you need the, you know, why are you doing that? And I said, well, no, because I want to have the right fit. And by having the right fit, now when I'm getting a lot of word of mouth referrals, I'm getting the right people, the right referrals, not getting those referrals of people that are time wasters or small jobs that end up costing me more money than what it was worth. So really putting yourself out there is really important, and taking opportunities like what I have today with EPN has been brilliant in being able to send my message. And you may not think that you have an important message to say, but you'll be surprised by how much you do. I didn't realise when I was telling people about this opportunity that I had coming up with this station about how excited people were and how they said, oh, you have a lot to say, it'd be really interesting to hear. And the more you put yourself out there, the more the more success you will get. And yes, you may get people who don't agree with what you say, but you just pick yourself up and go, whatever, they're not my target audience and not my client base. And always have integrity. Always, when you go to those events or when you promote yourself, definitely always have integrity. So it's common now with, say, things like YouTube and so forth, that people are doing videos about themselves and their business. And that's fantastic. That's a great way to show who you are, you know, in an easy format that people like. People love videos. And with my videos, I've done a few. I do them quite relaxed. I do them no whiz-bang, because I want people to see that I am who I am. You know, I could spend more money on the videos and I could make it look really polished and so forth, but I want people to see that I'm easygoing, that I'm friendly, that I'm personable. You know, I'm not a corporate marketing agency, so I don't need to convey that. When people talk to me, as you can tell, I love to talk. So I can convey those in those videos. And that's a great thing about today's day and age is that we have a lot more accessibility to those sort of items that, you know, 10 years ago you didn't have access to.
Some great information, and certainly the passion is certainly coming out through your message, and I'm sure that folks would benefit greatly by taking advantage of what you offer in the marketplace, certainly for the business owner in marketing and growing their brands. Tell our listeners where they can get more information about Ventumi online.
Okay, you can get more information from my website, www.ventumi.com.au. It's the number 2. You can call me at julia@ventumi.com.au. Like me on Facebook. Just search for Ventumi on Facebook. And you can also, definitely drop me a line, like my page and so forth. And I look forward to assisting anyone around the world. I've been really lucky that I've grown quite a lot in Australia, so I'm looking at actually getting my foot into more international clients and helping small to medium-sized businesses, because my theory is small to medium-sized businesses should have access to the same type of resources as the big players do. And when it comes down to it, small to medium-sized businesses are the backbone of any country, whether it be Australia, United States, United Kingdom and so forth. So I would love to be able to, you know, work with people to help them with their brand and their marketing messages and showing the big guys that, you know, essentially we can do it too.
You certainly can, no question about that. In conclusion, any closing thoughts or a final tip for our listeners?
Sure. One thing I wanted to mention is social media again. As I said, some people love it, some people hate it. If used well, it can be effective. And the important thing to know is when you do put yourself out there and you do have social media, whether it be such as a Facebook page, you are going to get positive and you are going to get negative reviews. The important thing is when it comes to negative feedback is some people think if they delete it, they can just ignore it. Others will do their rant and argue back with them. But the best thing to do is to actually acknowledge it. Say, thank you for, you know, your inquiry or your issue that you've informed us today. As a result of this, we've taken these steps. And provide some feedback on how you've actually actioned the complaint, tried to resolve the complaint. And leave the complaint up there, because other people will go and see and go, well, A, they're responsive. B, they didn't hide the complaint. And C, they held themselves with quite a high level of dignity and respect. When it comes to social media, and if businesses want to use social media, whether it be YouTube, Google+, Facebook, Twitter, you are going to get negative reviews. But it's better that they've come to your page and told you about it rather than told all the family and friends, which if you think that every average Facebook user has about 220 to 300 Facebook friends, that can do a lot of damage. So definitely acknowledge the complaint and resolve it in a diplomatic manner. And the other thing that some businesses do with Facebook in particular is they try to limit the ability of people to post on their page. If you use social media and you've given the consumer the means to, in order to communicate with you that way, you have to let them post. It really frustrates me when I see businesses that do that. There's a technology tech giant in Australia that does that, that doesn't let you create new posts. You can only post on their own content, and it frustrates me because if you're using that medium, then people should be able to vent or they should be able to praise you using that social media channel. So definitely be wary that it can happen, and you may get both positive and negative, but as I said, turn the negative into a positive experience. Show the customer or potential customer that you want to resolve the issue and that you have, and do it in a diplomatic manner, and you'll be surprised by how that service recovery can actually have a positive impact on not only that customer, but everyone else that follows.
Julia, we certainly do appreciate all the great information, the great tips from your experience, and we certainly appreciate your taking the time to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio, and best of success to you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Julia Tain, Executive Director of Vent2Me, a full-service marketing agency helping small to medium-sized businesses achieve their goals. And once again, the website of reference is vent2me.com. .au. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.